Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. I'm so glad you could join us today. And before we go into the Word of the Lord, let's just take a moment to join our hearts in prayer. Father, we thank you for your precious word. And Lord Jesus said that wherever two or three are gathered in my name, that you would be there in the midst. And Father, by faith, as we devote these next few minutes before your throne, as we devote ourselves to you in your presence, Father, I ask that you would minister to the need of every listener, every person that has turned in purposely, or those that just perhaps by accident have, by divine accident, if you will, stumbled across the broadcast, that this will be a time, Lord, that you will minister to them deep in their inner man. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. You've exalted your Word, Lord, above all your name, and how grateful we are for the Word of God, because it is your will for us. It is your ways, your character, your nature expressed. And so, Father, we thank you for the privilege and the freedom we have still to be able to share the Word of the Lord in this land. And God, I'm asking as we share, Father, that you will minister to our needs. Father, Jesus said if we would seek the kingdom of God first and His righteousness, every other thing would be added to us. So, Father, I pray for the body of Christ, for those listening, Lord, that you will in ever more profound and deeper ways help us to be focused on you with all that is in our being. Father, let us desire to please you and to walk in obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And so, Father, we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit, who will now anoint the Word of God, who is going to anoint anew and afresh the heart of every listener. Father, that we will be drawn to you, and regardless of what we are facing personally in our lives, Father, the very spirit of faith that you have given us causes us to know that all is well, that everything is working together for our good, that we look, Father, not with natural sight, but we look with the eyes of faith. We lift our eyes unto the hills from whence cometh our salvation. And Father, we thank you that you are a God who is in control of this earth, this world, as well as our lives. Lord, that you have graven us on the palms of your hand. Father, that you count the very hairs of our head. And so, Father, with love and with thanksgiving, we thank you for your faithfulness and your love, and ask you to be with us in a special way as we begin to minister today, this week, and whatever you have for us, Lord, that you would have your way, and most of all, Lord, that Jesus would be glorified. Amen and amen. Praise God. Well, I would like to begin by sharing I might just read the whole chapter. I just love Isaiah, and I'm going to be reading Isaiah chapter 58, and for those of you who are familiar, it's that chapter that deals with fasting. And let me just say, to whatever capacity God would speak to your heart, Jesus said very clearly that when the bride, because when Jesus was here, they said, why don't your disciples fast like John's disciples? He said, can those fast who are with the bridegroom, but a time will come when the bridegroom is taken, and then will they fast? And so fast is more an attitude of heart and discipline. Yes, there's literal physical fasting, an absolute fast, fasting from water, fasting a Daniel fast just on juices or on vegetables, however God leads you. Or for those, I remember once I preached a message on this. It was a midweek service at Hayward, and a brother said, I can't fast. Well, and I proceeded to tell him, well, whatever capacity you are able to deny yourself, it might be desserts or coffee or television or whatever, it is the heart of denying oneself and seeking the Lord. And so let's hear anew and afresh what the Lord is saying. You may have read this dozens of times, but let's hear with ears that have been anointed to hear God's heart speaking to us today. The word of the Lord begins, "Cry aloud and spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and shew my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways as a nation that did seek righteousness, and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold," this is the Lord speaking, "in the day of your fast ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with a fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord?" He was talking about all the things they did in the natural. And he talks now about the fast that he has chosen. Verse 6, "Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out into thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh." Then he begins to speak of the blessings for those who will do as he says. "Then shall thy light spring forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. And thou shalt call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here am I. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity. If thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy lights rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places, and thou shalt raise up the foundation of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in." And that's what I want to speak about for a few minutes, the repair of the breach. In verse 1, we see that Isaiah has his commission renewed to reprove the sinners in Zion. At another place in the scriptures, it says, "Woe, woe unto those who are at ease in Zion." And there are many today that name the name of Christ. You may know some that their service to the Lord is lukewarm at best. They may or may not go to church. They don't have a zeal for the things of God. It's just, if anything, a religious duty that they do once in a while to go to church to make their conscience feel not so bad or guilty. But their heart is set on the things of their own life, the things of this world. And God is looking for true disciples. What did Jesus say when he appeared after his resurrection? And remember that beautiful morning when a few of the disciples were fishing, and John finally figures out after they have this marvelous catch, he said, "It's the Lord." And Peter jumps overboard and he swims to the Lord. And Jesus was there and he'd prepared breakfast. There was bread and there was fish. And he asks Peter, he said, three times, to cover the three times Peter denied him. And he said, "Lovest thou me? Feed my lambs, feed my sheep." And so if we say we really love the Lord, there is an obligation, there's a responsibility. And his yoke is easy, his burden is light. He's not a hard taskmaster. He's a faithful, loving God who wants us simply to surrender our lives, that we can be used of him in whatever way he chooses. And it's different for each one of us. Oh, there are parallels of things that are the same, but we each have unique ministries. And so Isaiah is speaking to those who have grown lukewarm, those who are just going through they have a form of godliness. They all do the outward things correctly, but inside their motives, their heart is not stayed and fixed upon the Lord. And so these words that Isaiah is speaking was not just for those who were alive at his time, but these words are intended for admonition and warning to all hypocrites. They're not to be confined to those of any one age. He is the Lord. He changes not. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when we look around at the Christian world today, so many that have lost the fire, the fervor of their first love, some who have gone outright apostate, who are denying the Lord who bought them. They are refusing to accept very basic Christian doctrines, the virginity of Mary and the miracles of Christ. And so many in the nominal Christian world are thinking that Jesus, who healed the blind and begging Bartimaeus, for example, he's somehow a different Jesus than one who was seated majestically at the right hand of the Father in seating right now on our behalf. Jesus was moved with compassion to heal the sick, and he's moved with compassion today to heal the sick, to heal our nation, and to bring us in line with his word. Beloved, this is a time when God is sounding the trumpet. He's sounding the alarm. Cry aloud, he was told. Spare not, Isaiah was told. Lift up your voice like a trumpet and show the people the transgression of their ways. And we need to examine our own lives, our own hearts. Beloved, revival starts with individual repentance. Have each one of us come before the Lord and asking God to search our hearts, to see if there's any wicked way in us? That's the heart's cry of this ministry and all those, I believe, who are following after the Lord. Well, my time is gone, and I'll be sharing more on tomorrow's broadcast. As always, I extend an invitation for you to join me at this same time. If you are unable, that you can go to our website and you can listen anytime to the broadcast at your convenience. Also, if you have prayer needs, the announcer will give our contact information. I love you, pray for you every day, and I look forward to being with you again tomorrow. Until then, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.